You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, YKHC's tobacco prevention and cessation.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Wellness Wednesday, hosted to you by YKHC Tobacco Prevention and Cessation. My name is Melanie Plucky Rowland. Before we get started, I would like to inform you all this is a pre-recorded show. We are unable to take your call, but if you have questions or concerns, please don't be hesitant to call 907-543-5985 or email your questions or comments to radio@kyuk.org. Today, we will be discussing the connections between tobacco use and diabetes, followed by a brief explanation of the statewide smoke-free Alaska law that became effective this week on Monday, October 1st. First, I would like to introduce you to our guest speaker, Ray Peterson. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure, Plucky. My name is Ray Peterson. I am the diabetes outreach specialist for the diabetes department over at YKHC. I've been working in the diabetes department for the past 3 years. I grew up here in Bethel all my life, and I've actually been working at YK for the past 10 years. So I'm happy to be here on Wellness Wednesday. Thank you, Plucky.
Thank you so much for joining along with me. Thank you for joining the Tobacco Wellness Wednesday. The first question I would like to ask is, what is diabetes?
Great question, Plucky. So diabetes is a lifelong disease where your body cannot process sugar. The reason for this is that your pancreas does not make or produce enough insulin for it to process the sugar that you get from eating meals and such like that. So that sugar then builds up in the blood, and over time it starts to affect how our bodies function. So there are three types of diabetes. Type 1, which is where the body cannot use any of the insulin because the pancreas is not producing any of it. It just is there. Your body, as you eat your meals, it breaks all that food down into glucose. It just stays there in your blood. You can't use it for energy or any of that, and it causes a lot of really bad health problems. Type 2 is something that is more common than type 1. It's affecting about 95% of total diabetes cases, and it is a largely preventable disease, but this is where you are overworking your pancreas over time, and the insulin being produced is not working correctly, and it's not letting the sugar from the foods that you're eating to be absorbed correctly. And then there's also another one known as gestational diabetes, which occurs during pregnancy for women, but not all the time. We still don't know exactly what it is that causes gestational diabetes, but it usually happens later on during the pregnancy, and then right after that happens, both the mother and the child are at a higher risk of developing diabetes in the future. So,
thank you, Ray. Can diabetes affect people of all ages and backgrounds?
Yes. There are some known risk factors for developing diabetes, which can include family history, lack of physical activity, being overweight, being over the age of 40. A person's race or ethnicity can be a risk factor as well, especially people that are Alaska Native, Native American, African American, Hispanic, Asian, or Pacific Islander.
What are the symptoms of diabetes?
So some of the most common symptoms are feeling very thirsty, having a blurry vision, extreme fatigue or tiredness, urinating or peeing often, cuts and bruises that are slow to heal, feeling very hungry even when eating, tingling, pain, or numbness in your hands and feet.
What does using tobacco mean to people with diabetes?
So the way that diabetes affects us is it starts to constrict the blood vessels because there's too much sugar in the blood, which causes the little tiny blood vessels or the capillaries in our bodies just to narrow over time. And when people are using tobacco or getting nicotine, that has the same effect as somebody with diabetes. So if someone with diabetes is also using tobacco, whether it's smoking or chewing tobacco, they are increasing that risk of developing those narrowed arteries, narrowed blood vessels, more so than if they were, if they just had diabetes or if they were just smoking. We don't want either of those. So if somebody has diabetes, we highly recommend for them to seek cessation for tobacco use.
Thank you. Are there serious health problems for people who have diabetes?
It's kind of like I mentioned earlier. Prolonged high blood sugar levels start to narrow the blood vessels and arteries in our body. So heart and kidney disease is a really big thing with people who have diabetes. And again, when somebody is using tobacco, whether it's smoking or smokeless, you know, chewing tobacco. Mm-hmm. Other things that are occurring is nerve damage, because when those blood vessels, arteries, or capillaries are getting narrower and narrower, oxygen in our blood and the nutrients in our blood are not able to make it to those areas. So that starts to lead to those areas just starting to die off. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned earlier in the symptoms that, you know, some of the symptoms of diabetes is pain or tingling in your hands and feet. That pain or tingling sensation is attributed to the narrowing of those arteries, blood vessels, capillaries, and they're essentially just dying off.
So they're basically at the same risk? Or it's like the same risk of diabetes and tobacco?
Right. They have a lot of the same effects as each other. And then when you're using, if you're a tobacco user and you also have diabetes, you're increasing that risk exponentially. Mm-hmm. I don't have a number for that, but maybe more than twice mm-hmm. the chance or increasing your risk by at least twice, if not more, when you use tobacco and you have diabetes. Another health problem of somebody with diabetes is diabetic retinopathy, which is caused by those tiny little blood vessels that I was talking about earlier to become damaged, and our eye is not getting as much oxygen or nutrients that it needs in order to be a healthy eye, and a lot of those blood vessels start dying off, leading to subtle vision changes, blurry vision, which is one of the symptoms of having diabetes, is the blurry vision. And this is something that occurs very slowly, so you might not even notice that it's there, but your optometrist will. They could see that in the back of the eye. Other serious health problems for people who have diabetes is having high blood pressure. That is occurring because those blood vessels and arteries are becoming narrower, and whenever your blood is pumping, it has a lot more force there, which is something we don't want to necessarily have, high force on the blood vessels in our bodies.
What are the tobacco health impacts on pregnant women who use tobacco and have gestational diabetes?
So I mentioned earlier that gestational diabetes can develop during pregnancy, and like other types of diabetes, it affects how our cells or how our bodies use sugar. And this occurs with women who have never had diabetes before, and it typically goes away after pregnancy. But unfortunately, that's not the end of the story. Once you've had gestational diabetes, the chances are 2 in 4 that it can return in future pregnancies. And as I mentioned earlier, if you have been diagnosed with gestational diabetes, You yourself are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes in the future, and so is the baby as well.
So when someone has gestational diabetes, do they have like a 6-week follow-up?
Like, I believe it is definitely recommended to get 6-week follow-up after the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like your yes. A1C. Yeah.
Yes, there is definitely that process in there. So definitely make an appointment to get your A1C checked if you have had gestational diabetes, just to, you know, keep that under scrutiny or keep...
Just to be on the safe side.
Right, because you don't want to just have that out of... If you do end up developing diabetes, you don't want that to be completely out of control, leading to these exacerbated health problems in the future.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hear smoking or smokeless tobacco causes diabetes. Is that true?
So smoking and smokeless tobacco doesn't cause diabetes, but over time, nicotine damages your heart and circulatory system by hardening your blood vessels and further complicating diabetes. These narrow blood vessels can restrict the flow of blood to the cells in your body. So smoking increases the inflammation in your body, and that inflammation occurs when chemicals in cigarette smoke injure your cells, causing swelling and interfering with proper cell function. Smoking also causes oxidative stress, a condition that occurs as chemicals from cigarette smoke combine with oxygen in the body. This causes damage to cells. Evidence strongly suggests that both inflammation and oxidative stress may be related to an increased risk of diabetes.
What is the evidence?
The evidence of using tobacco products is associated with higher risk of abdominal obesity, or also known as belly fat. Abdominal obesity is a known risk factor for diabetes because it encourages the production of cortisol, a hormone that increases blood sugar. And smokers tend to have a higher concentration of cortisol than non-smokers.
So does nicotine raise your blood sugar?
Researchers found that nicotine raises your hemoglobin A1C. So nicotine is a toxic substance and it increases your A1C, but that doesn't mean that the cigarette is putting sugar into your bloodstream. It's because nicotine is a stimulant and it affects your blood sugar levels by making your body release stores of sugar from your fat into your bloodstream. And if you're also eating a meal at this time, that's increasing your blood sugar levels even more.
Or after a meal. People eat meals, they normally would like to have a cigarette or a dip. So that increases your A1C.
Correct.
You mentioned about hemoglobin A1C. What does that acronym mean?
So the hemoglobin A1C is also known as a gyrated hemoglobin test and glycohemoglobin. Hemoglobin is a protein found in your red blood cells, and it gives blood its red color, and its job is to carry oxygen throughout your body. So the hemoglobin A1C test tells you the average level of your blood sugar over the past 2 to 3 months. And people who have diabetes need to get this tested regularly to see if their levels are staying within range. And it could also tell you if you need to adjust any diabetes medications or diet and exercise. The A1C test is also going to be used to determine if somebody has diabetes. So that percentage that we're talking about, or those levels, 5.7 to 6.4 is within that pre-diabetes range, and anything higher than 6.4% is considered diabetes. And once you have that diagnosis, you'll always be in your charts and you'll always have that diagnosis. That doesn't necessarily mean that you can't treat diabetes or anything like that. You'll just have to be a little bit more.
How will stop using tobacco affect someone with diabetes?
So when you stop smoking or using smokeless tobacco, you know, chew, ikmik, all that, your liver slows down the processes it uses to remove hormones like insulin and drugs used to treat diabetes from the body. If the amount of insulin of diabetes drugs go up, the blood sugar will go down. And if you have diabetes and stop smoking, you may need to test your blood sugars more frequently for a while to avoid dangerously low levels. Once your blood sugar levels stabilize, you can go back to regular testing patterns.
How can diabetes be prevented?
So, first and foremost, if you smoke or use tobacco, stop using tobacco. You know, seek out ways to stop using tobacco, because that's going to be increasing your risk of developing diabetes. Other ways that diabetes can be prevented is by, you know, losing some weight. If you are overweight or you're obese, and staying active, you know, just being out and about and moving is generally a good way to lower your risk of developing diabetes, and that just includes walking. So if you don't really walk a lot or you don't do any kind of physical activity, the easiest thing you could do is just to stand up and walk for about 5 minutes. You know, start off as 5 minutes a day and then slowly increase that over time, especially if you're not used to walking around. So this physical activity can prevent or delay developing type 2 diabetes in adults who are at risk of developing diabetes. So talk about diabetes and how it could be prevented. If somebody does have diabetes and they use tobacco, is it safe for them to use nicotine replacement therapy?
Yes. There are no concerns about using most nicotine replacement therapies if you have diabetes, because diabetes can lower kidney function. So you should talk to your provider or your health aide or walk into the tobacco program if you are seeking for help.
It's safe for somebody who has diabetes to seek nicotine replacement therapy as long as they talk to their doctor or health aid provider. So regardless of that, if somebody did quit using tobacco, what are the immediate health benefits of quitting tobacco?
The benefits for quitting smoking or chewing tobacco begin within a day and continue for years. Within 24 hours, blood pressure and heart rate begin to drop. The blood vessels are no longer as constricted from the effects of nicotine. Blood flow can flow easily throughout the body to tissues and organs. The risk that tobacco creates for heart attacks, strokes, kidney, eye, and nerve damage begins to decrease. If you have any questions or concerns, talk to your healthcare provider about the best ways to quit smoking and manage your diabetes. Thank you so much for joining us, Ray.
No problem, Plucky. Thank you for inviting me. Before we go, is it okay if I make an announcement?
Of course.
All right, cool. So the Diabetes Department and various agencies, community partners within Bethel, we are hosting the 5th annual Spawn of the Dead Zombie Run. But mostly it's the Spawn of the Dead event that is starting at 1 o'clock over at the YK Fitness Center and pool. We have a bunch of fun activities planned for all of our participants. So again, that starts at 1. The race for the zombie run actually begins at 2. And we start cleaning everything up or doing the award ceremony and everything by about 3 o'clock. So bring your friends, bring your family. This event is open to all. We have a lot of fun activities hosted by the Alaskan Red Cross, the Alaska National Guard, several of our emergency providers or emergency services providers are going to be there doing their own zombie-themed booth and activities. So again, 1 to 3 on Saturday, October 6th, over at the YK Fitness Center. We'll see you there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up with the Wellness Wednesday, I would like to make an announcement. After 6 years of work, the Alaska legislature approved a statewide ban on smoking in public places across Alaska. The smoke-free law went into effect starting October 1st and requires places of employment and public spaces to be smoke-free. In compliance with the new smoke-free law, smoking and vaping are not permitted in any workplaces and public spaces. The ban covers e-cigarettes and marijuana as well as traditional smoking. What businesses need to do on or before October 1st is post a required no smoking or vaping signs in plain view at all entrances of your business. Remove all ashtrays and other smoking receptacles. Kindly ask individuals smoking or vaping on the premises indoors to stop and step outside. On October 25th, the Tobacco Prevention and Cessation Team would like to invite you to come and celebrate with cake for the passing of Senate Bill 63, Smoke-Free Alaska. We will also be celebrating our local Bethel City smoking ordinances that will protect all Alaskans from the YK Delta and across the state from secondhand smoke exposure. The booth will take place at our local grocery store, AC, from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. We will provide information about the smoke-free law and Bethel ordinances. Part of the celebration, if you have social media of Facebook or Instagram, you are welcome to upload your photo to support the new smoke-free law by using our hashtag YKDeltaLovesSmokeFreeAlaska to enter a $50 Amazon gift card. I will be choosing 3 winners on October 26th. If you do not have social media, you may send your photo to nicotinecontrol@ykhc.org to enter the drawing. For more information about Smoke-Free Alaska, please visit www.smokefree.alaska.gov. If you are interested in stopping tobacco, please call the Tobacco Prevention and Cessation Department from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. You could call us at 907-543-6312 or 1-800-478-3321, extension 6312. Or you could call the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. If you have any questions or comments, please email radio@kyuk.org. Koyana.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.